Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about news, comics, and media related to V. On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we have more news from Hasbro's Fan First Friday, pictures of some more movie vehicles, and a review of Transformers Escape number 4 from IDW Publishing. Today is Friday, August 20th, 2021, and this is episode 247 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's dealing with a terrible plague of Insecticons. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor Mike.
I tried to get some bug spray for the Insecticons, but my Home Depot doesn't sell it anymore.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you guys so much for continuing to support the show. And it helps keep us going, keeps us in business. One of the perks of being a Donatrion is that you get access to the early uncut episodes of Empire of Rust. And this week coming up, we've got Empire of Rust episode 57, Encyclopedia Cybertronica, and this will be exclusive to the Donatrons. This is lots of stuff that doesn't make it into the final edit of the show, and this is coming out Monday, August 23rd. So the final, the regular cut of episode 57 will be a week from then, so that'll be Monday, August 30th. That goes up on the free feed at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. But this early episode is only available to our Donatrion. So we'll be on the Patreon page and the Transmissions Patreon Dropbox. And you only have access if you are a Donatrion. This is the wrap up after the big event, the battle from episode 56 that was the climax of the end of season one, and now we're wrapping things up and getting ready for season two. Anything else you want to tell us about this episode 57 coming up, Mike?
Well, 57 really is just going to be that coda to season one, that kind of wrap up of all the little like plot threads and opening up some new questions that we can start peppering through for season two. So yeah, it's a very satisfying ending, a very satisfying conclusion. Sweet Spot's going to have some good stuff in there that is going to play out quite a bit in season two, especially in the beginning of season two. So yeah, it's I guess, like I said, it's a nice satisfying conclusion to the first season.
Awesome. All right. We'll look forward to that. And this is the first and only Transformers RPG podcast, and this is Empire of Rust, and this is the early access version for all you Donatrions.
Oh, and a big thank you to you there, Charles, too, because Charles went ahead and did some recordings for new intros and for stuff for Empire of Rust, so that you'll be seeing that pretty soon. And actually, probably have already heard it, but if you if you haven't heard it yet, you will be hearing it very, very shortly. So thank you, Charles, for doing that for us.
My pleasure. Always always happy to lend a voice where it's needed.
Probably didn't know it was you because there's so much editing and synthesizing done to the voice, right?
Still salty about that, huh?
I noticed I didn't get asked to come back to do a voice, eh?
No comment?
I really like your Roadbuster outro, Daryl.
It's only the
never actually
it's only
it.
The foundation that I did. I didn't really provide anything else. I have heard it.
Like, I could easily tell it was you. You have a certain cadence of talking there, Daryl. You know, like, you can't just ignore that.
Do I?
You do.
That's crazy.
Doesn't sound anything like you.
This doesn't sound anything like you.
Who is that?
That's my rat bat.
It's pretty good.
Still working on it, but you know what? I like it.
All right, we're going to move on and jump right into some comics news. All right, well, we've got more stuff from Hasbro's Fan First Friday. That was last Friday. So we talked about all the toy reveals in the toy show this week, but they did have some comic reveals. So, I mean, not reveals in the sense that we didn't know they were already coming, but revealing the more of the covers for the Shattered Glass miniseries, because, of course, all the Shattered Glass figures that they're making will have packed in comics with the toys, as mentioned earlier. But curiously not mentioned during the Fan First Friday stream this time, Casey Collar, awesome artist Casey Collar, did all the covers that are the variant covers that go are packed in with the Hasbro toys, the Shattered Glass figures. I don't know why they didn't mention Casey in the stream itself. It was definitely, I think, Daryl, you were the one who really noticed that. And it was very odd because they did mention all the other artists.
Yeah, I was taken aback by that. They really highlighted his covers. They really, you know, went to town on saying, you know, how great they look and how awesome they are. But they never mentioned him by name. But they went on to mention everybody else who's done covers for the book. And I thought, you know, Casey's done a lot of work on this. You should at least give him, you know, some props here. So,
yeah.
We'll mention him because Casey's awesome.
Yeah. Casey's a good friend of the show. We really love his artwork. Unfortunately, IDW can't afford to hire him full time. He's got too good of a day job where he can't really do full time comics art. You know, we would love to have him doing more Transformers art. His art is awesome. And they did show off all the Alex Milne covers, or as he's come to be known, Alex Milne. And these covers are all homages to classic Marvel covers, which is awesome. And I like how the naivete of the Transformers the Hasbro team for Transformers are like, yeah, you can make it a little scavenger hunt to figure out if you can figure out all the covers that these comics are homaging. We already know there's no scavenger hunt necessary.
Even if you didn't know, might I direct you to the TF Wiki?
Yeah, it'll. And so, yeah, I mean, we can, like, we've got, the Blur issue is homaging Transformers Generation 2 issue 1. That's the Optimus Prime cover with the bullets in his face. We've got, the Starscream cover. That's homaging Marvel Transformers number 25, which was Megatron being surrounded by the Predacons. This one is the heroic Decepticon Starscream being surrounded by evil Autobots on all sides. We've got the Megatron cover. This is homaging the classic Marvel Transformers. I believe that was, I can't remember the number, but I do remember that was the one where Optimus Prime surrendered.
Make it a little scavenger hunt, Charles, and figure out where the books they're homaging.
But yeah, that was a classic cover where Optimus Prime surrendered to Scorponok, and this is Shattered Glass Decepticon Megatron surrendering, I guess, to evil Optimus Prime here. You can't really tell by the foot, I guess. Let me see. The next one, the Goldbug cover is homaging Marvel Transformers 67, which was Galvatron flying over above the Earth. And this one is Goldbug in a similar pose, looks like above Cybertron. And then the Jetfire cover, which was homaging another Transformers Generation 2 cover where Megatron was holding the skull of Bludgeon, saying, "Alas, poor Bludgeon, I killed him well." And this one is Jetfire holding the skull of Starscream. So all very cool covers. That's a generation two, issue 5 there. So yeah, these are all awesome covers by Alex Milne. We also have more variant covers by Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea, and she does a unique take on each of the characters as well, which are also, you know, her style is equally awesome. So you can check those images out. So lots of you're going to be embarrassed. You have got an embarrassment of riches of different covers to pick here. Those were all shown off on FanFirst Friday. In addition to all the Shattered Glass stuff, we do have a little bit of the background cover process for Transformers issue 34. So this is the main line series. Friend of the show, Winston Chan, who has now been, you know, getting pretty regular work with IDW doing covers and is going to be doing the interior arts on Beast Wars next issue. But yeah, he's showing off the process he did for the cover art he did for Transformers 34. And this features Termagax and the Enigma of Combination. So you can check out, he shows off the lines he did, and then going the process from line art to sketches to line art, to then to colors, fully colored. Looks very cool. So you've got Termagax, Starscream, and Nova Star, who should be Firestar, and then the Enigma of Combination there. So it's a cool image. All right, that's all our comics news. So we will move on to our comic review.
All right, we are looking at Transformers Escape number 4. This is written by Brian Ruckley. Art is by Beth McGuire Smith. Colors by Priscilla Tramontano. Letters by Neil Yukitake. But editor is David Mariette. Assistant editor Riley Farmer. And supervising editor is Tom Walt. There are 3 covers this week. Cover A has Rage and Hydra Dread in a creepy corridor with an Insecticon lurking overhead. This is by Beth McGuire Smith. Cover B has Hound and Wheeljack about to be overtaken by the Insecticon swarm. This is by Aline Hertzbalter Baumgartner. And the Retailer Incentive has the Autobots and the Organics looking terrified as Diatlas is looking on in contemplation. And this is by Red Powell. So, Mike, let's start with you. Which of the 3 strikes your fancy?
Honestly, I'm not too happy with any of them this month. I think cover A? Yeah, I think cover A is like, out of the bunch, is the best one. That's is that the Beth McGuire Smith one?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that the kind of dynamicism of the pose on it is kind of nice. The colors, I think, are a little too muted. Like, you really can't tell the difference between, like, foreground and background very easily. So that's not a great thing for me. But I don't know, like I said, it's just they're, like, all the covers this month, nothing really just jumps out at me and says that, hey, this is really, really great. But if I had to pick one, it's going to be cover A.
Daryl,
for myself, I'm probably going to go with. Well, first of all, I want to say I kind of agree with Mike that there's 3 covers here, and none of them really jump out at me either. Cover B is the one that I'm going to go with, just because of the swarm of Insecticons on it. I just like the way it's laid out, with the Hound and Wheeljack running away from it, and it's just looking immense and encompassing. It's just, it's going to overtake them, on this cover. It's, it looks good. It's the way it's laid out. It just looks really good. And, the title is engulfed in these Insecticons, in the blackness of it all. It's the layout of it is really nice. But yeah, it's a weird week where, you know, nothing really jumps out at me as just being a stellar, stellar cover. But that's the one I'm going to go with, cover B.
All right. Cool. Charles.
I'm going to agree with Daryl and pick cover B by Hertzspalter. So, yeah, I like that. Just like that image, like the creepiness of that, you know, all the Insecticon swarm closing in on Hound and Wheeljack and the others there. So I just like that that image and conveys the creeping dread of the Insecticon swarm.
Cool. And I think I will go with cover A. I just think the creepiness of that image in terms of, like, I think the muted colors, I mean, it really conveys what we get in the story as well about, you know, that part of the story. I don't know. It's the one I would go with. All right. Into the summary of the book. The title is Escape Part 4. This is next to last issue in the series. The Autobots are making camp outside of Darkmount when Speeder runs through to see if the rumors are true. He finally sees his former general, Diatlas. Since Diatlas went emergent, Speeder has been keeping his sword, but when it's offered back, this new pacifist Diatlas has no need for it. Inside the city, Highbrow has arranged a meeting with Straxus. He, Nautica, and Wheeljack join him, much to Wheeljack's annoyance. Inside, Straxus greets them, but he wastes no time, and he points out all the things that they're faced with at the moment. The Titans are all about to crash into the planet. There are ground quakes that make him think that the planet itself is threatened, and then the rise of the Decepticons. Straxus has three of the four Ark-class ships restored and ready to go, but the fourth one needs a lot of repair. The star drive exploded during installation. Wheeljack looks down and asks why they're already loading up the working arcs, and Straxus says that while he will do everything he can for the refugees, his priority is the citizens of Darkmount. Rage and Hydredred have been tracking the Insecticons to an emergent Titan in the Cybertronian Mountains. Hydredred is excited to test his new weapon, but Rage reminds him that they're here to use it on the Insecticons inside. Inside the refugee camp, Hound tells Gears that about some of the Aeovian flora and fauna that they've managed to save, but also notes that most of the Aeovians were actually born on Cybertron and never even knew their homeworld. As he's being shown this, Gears knows that Hoist is helping install a temporary leg on Leviathan, and he goes to try to help with the welding, as Hound sends nearby Cromar to go and patrol the perimeter of the camp. Inside the Titan, Rage is following their tracker down the shaft, but they're not alone. Soon, an Insecticon jumps him. Rage is nearly the next meal for this Insecticon before he can get free, and Hydredred drenches the Insecticon in acid. Hydredred's pleased that his weapon works and that they can take Kickback off of their list until they look down the corridor and see that it is full of Insecticon clones. Back at the camp, Nautica and Wheeljack brief Hound on their meeting with Straxus. Wheeljack doesn't think that Straxus can be trusted, but as Hound notes that the loading of the arcs give another reason for the organics not to trust Cybertronians. And suddenly, everyone is looking up as they see the Titan emissary entering the atmosphere before crashing into the Cybertronian mountains, near where Hydredred and Rage are escaping the Insecticon swarm. Emissaries crash, destroys the tunnel behind the two, blocking the Insecticons, but Hydredred's leg is trapped in the rubble. There's no time to spare, so Rage uses his acid weapon to melt Hydredred's leg off and pull him free. As they make their way to the entrance, they see the swarm of Insecticons flying away. They note that it's going to be a bad cycle for someone, but not them. Outside of Darkmount, Cromar returns to Hound with bad news. The Insecticon clones are heading their way. Hound makes a final plea to Diatlas. He might believe that Cybertronians have a life after this one, but the organics, the ones that sent a call that he answered, what if they don't? Also, this is a sparkless swarm. If this was not why he was brought back, what is? Diatlas spends a second to think, and then he calls for Speeder and asks for a sword. With a sword held high, he readies the Autobots for battle. To be continued. This was a very wordy issue. It was nothing really happened. This is the night before the battle, and it's just the final moving of the chess pieces. I like a lot of the ideas that were presented here, but the one little bit of action with the Insecticons, it was just not a very exciting book. It wasn't a very quick read, but I will say the art was pretty good, in my opinion. I just wish that it was more action with a cliffhanger or something going into the final issue, because this was just a very dry overall. So, Daryl, I know what your opinion is going to be much like that. So let's just go to you. What were your thoughts?
Why don't you say my opinion?
No, I'm just saying, I think you're going to agree with me on this, that this issue was very dry.
Just as a fun little thought experiment, why don't you say my spot here? Why don't you take my turn?
I think you're going to say you hated the book.
Okay. I don't know whether I've ever said I hated something. That's a very strong word.
This was a very wordy book. A lot of talking, not a lot of stuff happened. You know, only very
talky-talky, not enough fighting.
Yeah, no. And the art was kind of rough.
Nobody got punched in the face.
Art was a little bit rough. Lines arts are not quite as clean as what I'm used to. What I like. Is that accurate, Daryl?
All right. You guys, it was pretty. You know me pretty well. Okay,
we've been doing this for 8 years, Daryl.
Yeah, you know me pretty well. You're right. This is not a book that I'm generally drawn to. This was a book that was just text. Nothing happened in this issue. This was, like Jeremy said, just a chess piece mover, getting the players into play. It's setting up. This whole series seems to have been setting up so that Diatlas can kill some mindless drones in the fifth act. You know, I read through this and I thought, what the hell was the entire frickin' point of this whole miniseries? Right. Was it just to bring Diatlas out of, you know, stasis? Like, the whole point of this, you know, they talk to Straxus. He's moving his guys out of Darkmount. He's taking the arcs. Okay. You're no better off than where you were when you walked over to the Ark, or when you went to the Ark to ask him about the Ark. So you're not getting an Ark. There's a busted one that's going to take forever to fix. Okay. You know, maybe they know something he doesn't, Straxus. Maybe the Autobots know something Straxus doesn't, that they can fix it quicker. We don't know that yet, but like, I fail to understand the point of this miniseries. Maybe the fifth book, the final book in this miniseries, will tell us what's going on. We ought to wait. But that's a lot of books to push through just to move a couple guys, or bring a heavy hitter to the playing field, and to give yourself, or give the characters a broken piece of machinery. Going through the book, Jeremy's right, or sorry, Charles was right. This is not my cup of tea when it comes to the art. It's a rougher style. There, you know, I've talked about it before. I'm much more cognizant of the backgrounds in these books now. The foreground is where all the action happens, but I look to the background because that's where I find where the detail is done. And there's not an awful lot of detail in the backgrounds here. It's rough. There's a couple pages or a couple panels definitely that have some detail in the background. Definitely when they're in the dormant Titan that's buried in the ground. You know, there's definitely some underground shots there that have a lot of detail in the background. But it's the art's rough. But it's the way Transformers comics are done right now. So it looks to be more of a digital creation. So yeah, that's just the way it's done, I guess. But yeah, anyway, you guys got me pegged. I don't even know if I need to be here anymore.
We'll get back on an action book soon, I hope. Mike, what were your thoughts on this?
So I'm going to echo a lot of what Daryl said. The art is not, and I'm struggling to put into words what I really dislike about the art. And I think it's kind of just the desaturated, kind of like fuzzy feel of the art. And the fact that there's no shadows on like half of these pages here. Or if the shadow is there, it's just some kind of weird blobby kind of shadow. Yeah, like I'm looking at page, I can't even tell what page it is. I think it's like page 8 or 9 or something. It's the one where Straxus is kind of doing his big lecture moment on the balcony, kind of looking over. And it's like, he doesn't cast a shadow. None of the other characters do. And it's like, okay. Are you floating? Like, are you flying? Are you on the ground? I have no context here.
Well, yeah, and you have shadow with like the balcony that they're on. That has a shadow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I didn't. I don't know. I mean, I completely understand how difficult it is to make artwork, to make art just in general, and to make it on a tight schedule like these books are on. But at the same time, it's like I can't get there from here. So on the art, it's just not my thing. And as far as story goes, yeah, sure, I'll agree. It is just a build up book. That doesn't bother me as much as the artwork does, because like, and I think Daryl will probably agree with this. The art is what grabs you visually right from the beginning. If it's not good, then you're already working at a disadvantage on the book.
Yeah, I would agree. Though I've always been an art first person. So you could have a book, this book could have been written by Alan Moore, and if the art didn't change, then I'd still be fairly disinterested. Mm.
I can get behind that. I think you and I are on the same page there. I will say I like the characters that are in this. Like, I love the fact that we're getting Rage and Hydra Dread as like main characters here. That's mm-hmm. really interesting. I mean, these are characters that were like toy European toy one-offs that rarely show up ever. So I love the fact that happens. And I do love the lore that's in the world building that's being created in these books. If there's one thing that this current continuity I think is really good at, it is world building and lore building. I think they're really great at that.
This whole run would be a really great novel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can totally agree with that. But yeah. I mean, like I said, it's. I hate coming down like hard on a book like this because, again, I know how much work has to go into stuff like this, and I really hate disparaging like artists for stuff like this, artists and writers. It's just not been my preferred style and my preferred medium on this one.
All right, Charles, what were your thoughts?
I'm going to acknowledge all the criticisms you guys threw out there. I think they're all pretty valid. I do like Beth McGuire Smith's style. I do think her style is rougher than other artists who are on Transformers, but I do think it works as a, you know, dynamic. Like if there was action to be given in this book, I think her style conveys the action pretty well. It's just unfortunately this particular story didn't have a lot of action going on. Yeah, I mean, it is this whole miniseries. I think the point of the miniseries was to show kind of, I guess, the cost of the start of the war on, you know, all the other people on Cybertron, you know, using these Aeovians and their protectors as the focal point. And then also, I guess, make the Insecticons more of a larger threat. Cause we didn't, the Insecticon clones were introduced in this miniseries. Like, we had the three original Insecticons at the beginning, and they have now discovered Shockwave's cloning technology and are using it to replicate themselves. So, I mean, I don't know how that figures into the larger story, but I guess, you know, we're going to get the big battle in the next issue between the people trying to protect these Aeovians and the Insecticon swarm, which, yeah, I guess we'll have to judge in the next issue whether all this was worth it. But for this issue, it is, yeah, it's a little bit frustrating to have this kind of build up and not have anything happen right here. I did like Rage and Hydrojet, their little mini adventure. I thought that was the high point of the book. I also find it interesting that we have a we have the Decepticon Rage, but then we also have the Autobot, or I guess not Autobot, but neutral Road Rage, who is Nautica's protector. She didn't have any speaking parts in this issue, but you know, it's just funny to have we've got Road Rage on one side and Rage on the other. Makes it harder to keep track of the characters here.
Surely you know another Charles somewhere in the world.
I'm not a Transformer, though. Transformers should have better naming devices.
Yeah. Rage 2.36579.
I did like the Diatlas having this this dilemma where Hound has to convince him to take up his arms again. I like that progression of his character, because the last three issues he's been talking about how his time being, I guess, immersant had turned him into a pacifist. But yeah, Hound putting it plain, like, this is death coming and do you stand for life or are you going to let death take it away? And that crystallized his conviction. So I thought that was a nice little moment at the end of the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all these little good elements, it doesn't come together totally in this issue. So that's unfortunate.
I feel like Escape was kind of sold to us as a faster pace. I mean, the name implies they are rushing to escape, like rushing to get to the arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just been slowly going to the arcs. And I was picturing more of a Mad Max Fury Road type, they are having all of these struggles as they're racing to get to the arc. I think that would have just been a lot more fun series, just nonstop action. Instead, it's more just setting up the greater story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is Transformers Escape number 4. I'm guessing we'll probably do 5 next week and just wrap up the series. I don't know. It's Charles this week. You can pick.
I guess I got to do it now.
No, that can be edited out.
All right. Well, let's move on to media news.
All right. In media news this week, we're going to jump back into the Hasbro Fan First Friday event that was on Friday, August 13th. And we are going to talk about some media stuff that they did. So we touched on it last week, but the 86 movie is back in theaters in September for 2 days only, the 26th and the 28th. So if you're in the U.S., because it's in the U.S. only, you will have an opportunity to go see that. Just go to, what is it, Fandom Events or
Fathom like Events.
Fathom.
I don't know. Doesn't concern me, so it's not something that I've been looking up. Fathom Events, yeah.
So the tickets are on sale now. As of Fan First Friday, the tickets are now on sale. So you can buy them right now for those showings.
Cool. Anybody interested in going to see it?
I would love to. I'm not available. I'm busy.
I might take the kids, see if they're interested.
I went to see it the last time it was in theaters. I don't think we're going to go again, but it's good to know it's there. Maybe we will. I don't know yet.
Cool. And the people on the stream talked about Top Wars and the Transformers crossover. We discussed this a little while ago as well. And how it's just a limited time event, and they showed off the game trailer for it. And it looks kind of fun, especially if you're already playing Top Wars. So you'll be able to get some Transformers characters in that mobile game. Then they also talked about another mobile game called Mobile Legends, Bang Bang, and Transformers. So you can, if you have heard of this, it's another game that is crossing over with Transformers. So they showed off a trailer for that as well, and it's something that we hadn't seen before, so that was kind of fun to watch. I'm not familiar with Mobile Legends Bang Bang, but It looked, I mean, it looked kind of fun. It's like a fighting game, and it's got the evergreen designs of the G1 characters. So, yeah, it looks kind of fun, so take a
this
look.
This game is classified as a MOBA, which is, I believe, it's multiplayer online battle arena. And
a mobile online battle arena.
Oh, okay.
The rare Charles correction.
You get a gold star, Mike.
Sweet.
So yeah, you take on all the different characters, and I guess you can take on these Transformers characters now. They showed Optimus, Megatron, and Bumblebee, and then they teased another character, which is probably another Decepticon that will be available. You know, you just saw glowing red eyes, so I imagine it'll probably be Starscream or someone else. So.
Right on. And the last thing I've got for us here before I throw to Mike is there's a 3D projection or promotional projection in China. And if you see the video, you'll probably recognize this building because it's been used a bunch to show off some really amazing three-dimensional artwork and imaging and advertising. It's really quite cool, but they did a Transformers War for Cybertron promotional 3D projection in it, where they've got Optimus Primal, Beast Wars Megatron, G1 Optimus Prime, and I believe that's it. Yeah, so you can take a look at the video. It's only 32 seconds long, but it does show the building, the 3D projection. It's insane as far as the level of advertising, like video screen advertising. Like, I've seen this building, the same building, they've done it as a aquarium with a shark in it, and they've done it with other stuff that looks like it's like spilling out, like water spilling out onto the street and stuff. The stuff that they're able to do with the screen on the side of this building is just incredible. And yeah, this is really quite neat to see.
It's like that scene from Back to the Future 2 where the shark comes out. It's like we're there now.
Yeah, exactly. And they said in the story here, they said that this ad is going to be running on the building until August 20th. So if you're in Shenzhou, China, take a look. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Mike, why don't you take over for me and tell everyone what you got?
I certainly can do that. Well, we got some video game news updates. So this is an update for a Transformers game that has been like putzing around in development for a number of years now. It is from developer Certain Affinity. And it is their Transformers third shooter game. So it's a third person shooter. It used to be called Transformers Impact, then changed its name to Transformers Online. Now it is tentatively titled Transformers Rise. So this is a little bit iffy. I mean, we've been hearing about this game for a number of years now, since 2016, 2017 or so, and it's just been kind of just around. But maybe with the new movie coming out, maybe this is going to kind of spur them to go ahead and actually put this game out. Certain Affinity, and I actually had to look this up because I had never heard of this studio before. They are most famous as being co-developers for other games and other franchises. So they've done a lot of work with the Halo series, with Call of Duty, and with World of Tanks. But they haven't built anything like any brand new property in their own right. They work with other studios to help modernize and do improvements and like map packs and stuff like that for existing games. Like they really don't have any credit for a game that they've built themselves. So this will be interesting to see if one, it actually comes out, and two, just how good it is going to be. Because although they have experience working with shooters in the genre, again, the idea that they haven't really put anything of their own out is a little concerning. So hopefully we hear more as this is further further develops. But yeah, so pretty much it's continuing to kind of churn through the whole process. So hopefully we hear something about it soon. Let's see here in movie news. We have a possible first look at some more Rise of the Beast vehicles. Down in Peru, in filming, two trucks showed up on the set. One is an orange-looking kind of beat-up truck, and the other is a truck that people are calling it Scourge, but it looks, at least to me, it looks more like that Megatron we had from Dark of the Moon, that truck Megatron we had. What do you guys think? Is this supposed to be a Scourge or a Megatron? Does anyone have any thoughts?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate because, I mean, Megatron, the last time we saw Megatron was in The Last Knight, and he was completely different there.
He was a jet. A Cybertronian jet.
Yeah, and that was after the no explanation when in Age of Extinction where he had been Galvatron with no spark, but then he showed up in Last Knight back to Megatron and apparently alive again. So, I don't know. Yeah. This could be anything.
It all comes down to Transformium, Charles.
Transformium, Charles, come on. But yeah, but this really does remind me a lot of that truck Megatron. So,
and this is if I think the understanding is Rise of the Beast takes place in the 90s before, or I mean, I guess it's not even clear if they're in the same universe as the 07 Transformers live action movie. So this could be before Megatron got that form in Dark of the Moon. So maybe this is Scourge.
Well, in the 90s, Megatron is stuck in a block of ice.
Soft reboot, guys. Come on. Soft reboot.
Who knows?
Those two words can justify anything in the movie industry.
But with these movies, you don't even really need to worry about being consistent.
Yeah. Continuity, yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Sad, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Jeremy, if you just treat everything as a standalone movie, you know what? You're going to be much happier with your time there. All right. And last thing in other movie news, Paramount is looking for some animators for the upcoming Transformers animated movie. So story supervisor Bobby Rubio has posted an announcement, and he has been promoted to story supervisor, and he is putting together a team of artists. So if you have any animation work on your portfolio and you think that you could help out with this project, then go ahead and send your portfolio links over to animation_jobs@paramount.com. So if any of our listeners are in that industry. So, yeah. New story editor, and looks like they're ramping up for production. So, cool. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope there's some stuff comes up on it. I mean, I get that they're just ramping up production, but I hope they have some promotional artwork or some concept stuff that they've put together for pre-production that we can see. So, hopefully. And that is it for movie news. That is it for media news.
All right, and we will move on and finish up the show with convention news.
All right, just one thing here this week. For TFCon Baltimore, coming up in October, they have announced that Greg Berger is going to be joining everyone there. And Greg is an awesome guest at TFCon. Great stories, great meet and greets. So be sure to check him out if you're going to Baltimore. That's all we got for convention news.
Original voice of Grimlock and Skyfire.
Thought that was just everyone knew. So He's such a legend, you don't even need to say
it. Wait, he did Skyfire? Wait, he did Grimlock?
He also did Odie and Garfield.
So. Oh my God, he was Odie?
Hope sold. Back. And Long Haul.
I don't see Odie anywhere in this artwork.
All right, well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. We always, of course, give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you again to John4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, and DemonTech82 for continuing to support the show at our highest level. And that's why we give you a shout out in every episode. You can also buy some merchandise from our T Public store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Everything you buy from our store helps out the show. You can get some Transmissions merchandise, but anything, if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that still helps out the show. And everything is 35% off this week because of the sale. The sale ends August 21st. So you've still got a couple of days, or I guess one day when this show goes up, to still buy some stuff on sale. So you can help us out and buy everything on sale, 35% off. Mike, again, thank you for joining us this week. And why don't you tell everyone what stuff you can plug online, including Empire of Rust.
Awesome. I love promoting Empire of Rust. So, yes, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. I always love coming on and talking with all of you. You're awesome. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Thank you.
But yes, so my stuff, I do toy photography and I post up my my 3D work from my day job over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So at Minervion, that's MINERVION on all of the social media platforms. So please come over and take a look and see what you think. And of course, always listen to Empire of Rust. And I'm going to plug the outtakes because I never do, and I put a lot of work into the outtakes for this show. So, yes, listen past the credits and listen to the outtakes too.
I love the outtakes.
Yeah, they're great.
Aw, thank you. Everything out of context. I love it.
Yes, please listen all the way to the end of the show. Don't stop at the credits. All right. And that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Stay tuned for the outtakes after the outro. And please enjoy. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Later.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to keep the Transformers talk going, join us in Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. There's a great community there waiting for you. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or just tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.
Oh, I guess so, Charles.
High energy, Mike.
That was parody.
Bad comedy.
And I don't know why you want to take it. You think you'd do it better than me? Is that it?
Well, always. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I just appreciate being honest with people, you know?
Gotcha. Mike's the Zoolander of Transformers voices.
I don't know what that is. I'm confused.
All your voices are the same, but you call them something different. It's Blue Steel. It's Magnum. They're all the same face.